It's orientation week for some universities this week, giving many students their first taste of campus life before the academic year begins next week. But not all students will be there. 100,000 of them are stranded in China because of the travel restrictions in place to contain the spread of the virus. 4,000 of them study at the Australian National University, and the university's vice chancellor is Professor Brian Schmidt, who incidentally has just had his term for another 5 years renewed. Congratulations and welcome back to AM.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sabra. It's a great honour.
4,000 students, how many of them will be actually able to study online?
So we have put in place over the last week 650 courses that will allow these students to keep in touch. That will cover a large fraction of the students. And then what I'm trying to do is to get our staff and our students to help the students who remain, because we have, 650 combinations of degrees, and trying to make sure that we can, as I said, keep the people who are stuck in China in touch with what happens over the semester, because we really don't know how things are going to play out.
The degree of difficulty in allowing that, given that the China's Great Wall when it comes to the internet is a bit of a challenge. Has that been challenging for you?
It is a challenge, and it is multifaceted in that there's just not one formula that works. So we have been working with a lot of our students who have a great deal of expertise, it turns out, in navigating the firewall. We have been working with Chinese officials themselves who have been cooperative, but it's a highly complex system, and so it needs to have multiple avenues of which we can get information in there to make sure it's reliable. And so we've been experimenting.
Have you got a lot of contingencies in place, I would imagine, or are you planning to put different contingencies in place, given that also some students might find it economically challenging given the fees they're having to pay?
Yeah, so what I'm trying to do is to make sure that our students stay in touch first, and we're going to worry about paying later. And so having a huge amount of flexibility so that the students get in, don't worry about the money, so they can opt out, or, it's really in their control. But my focus is to make sure that they can do as much of their courses as they can while they're away. Then when they get here, we'll be able to speed them up, and we can speed them up faster the more they have done, and they're not going to pay until they actually get their courses done.
How tricky is it for you planning all of this? I mean, you might have students turn up in 8 days. You might not. Some might have to postpone.
So we're trying to be very flexible, and that's why this idea of not having cutoff dates, wanting to keep people in touch, making sure that we can handle if the students all arrive 8 days or if they arrive at the end of the semester. We have tried to build a system that can accommodate all of those options. What I'm really trying to do is imagine I'm a student. I'm stuck in Beijing right now. What do I want to do? Do I want to sit and twiddle my thumbs? No. I want to actually try to do my coursework while I'm being quarantined or not allowed to leave the country. And so I'm trying to think through their odds.
Economically, is it challenging for the ANU?
Yeah, it's not a lot of fun. It's a pretty big impact financially, but it is one that we have modeled in the past because we knew that some sort of economic shock like this could eventuate. So, it is manageable, but it's not fun.
What about when the students are able to return? We're already hearing about fear of the virus is causing businesses to shut here because they're being shunned. How will you deal with that?
So that becomes a matter of communication. We have T-shirts that we have put out, which is viruses don't discriminate and neither do we. And I want my staff and my students, who should be some of the most rational Australians, to actually be rational and to listen to the chief medical officer and realize that they have been very conservative and that people wandering around Australia are safe no matter what they look like. And so really getting out and campaigning about safety and a proportionate response. I think people forget about proportionality. Every year, influenza is allowed to go through our community because it is decided to be a proportionate response to let that happen. Now, this is a different disease, and the chief medical officer and the health authorities are also trying to create a proportionate response, and I respect their views on this.
All right. Just quickly, while while you're talking about rational things, you're a Nobel Prize-winning scientist. The continued dismissal of climate change science?
That is becoming a little tiring, I will say. We need to keep on understanding it, but the reality is we need to act on it. And, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I've asked my Climate Change Institute, led by Mark Howden, to go through and figure out how we can go to sub-zero emissions as fast as possible. And I'm not talking 2050 here. I think we can probably do it here in the next year or two.
All right. Brian Schmidt, thank you very much for joining the program this morning.
My pleasure.